From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you listening in once more to Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you to turn once again to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 to continue our look at the subject, the hope of eternal life. First, however, we commence with our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. Our daily devotional today is taken from Acts chapter 4 verse 13 on the subject of testimony. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The enemies of Christ had listened to and observed the apostles and had reached the conclusion concerning them, they had been with Jesus. Beloved, the world is always watching us, scrutinizing every word, measuring every act and every attitude, and it's not slow to mark our inconsistencies and failures. We are, as Paul told the Corinthians, epistles read of all men. What a sobering thought. Man looketh on the outward appearance. True, and like it or not, he judges Christianity by what he sees in us. What does he see? That which causes him to criticize and condemn? Or that which compels him to say, the Lord have done great things for them. Depend upon it, the ungodly know when we have been with Jesus. Spending time with him leaves its mark upon us. Moses had upon his countenance the evidence that he had been in the presence of God. Let us ever look to him, feed upon him, and draw from the fullness that is in him. And the result will be that as the branches in the vine, we will bear fruit to Christ's glory. The Lord Jesus commands in Matthew 5:16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The old hymn says, Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. And our thought for today comes from the Puritan Thomas Brooks. A Christian's life should be nothing but a visible representation of Christ.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the my love, take my hands and let them move. At the impulse of thy love,
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church. It's a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches.
Oh, who am I that for
Yesterday we studied what the Scriptures teach about the expectation of the hope of eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to His people. Having shown that our hope includes deliverance from the fear of death, being with Christ after death, having a part in the first resurrection, enjoying an abundant entrance into Christ's everlasting kingdom, and the adoption, that is, the redemption of the body, and being included in the manifestation of the sons of God, we now proceed to examine the sure foundation of this hope. Let me say a word about the establishment of the believer's hope. It's founded upon truth. Verse 1 speaks of the truth which is after godliness, and immediately goes on to say, in hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life rests securely upon an impregnable basis. First of all, it rests on the foundation, the truth of Christ's saving work. This is the truth that Paul's speaking of in verse 1. The faith of God's elect, as we saw last Sabbath evening, it rests upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. The truth that is after godliness is the truth as it is in Jesus. In chapter 2 of this epistle, for example, Paul at the end of verse 13 speaks of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the foundation of our hope. Christ died for me. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. And He now lives for me. We were reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 6, and in verse 19. And verse 20, it's a very important passage. Here's our hope. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, our Melchizedek high priest. I want you to see this. What does our hope do? It lays hold of Christ's place within the veil. It lays hold of the fact that not only is Christ exalted, but He's there for us. That's His whole current intercession. That's Christ as the high priest bearing us up upon His shoulders and carrying us upon His heart. He's there for us. Can you think of that? At the throne of God, Jesus Christ is exercising a ministry for us. He's there on our behalf. He's there for our good. He's pursuing our cause. This is the foundation of our hope. This is no vain hope. This is no wishful thinking. This is reality. The Son of God is risen from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's in the position of supreme power. And He's there exercising Himself on our behalf. And for our good. Ah, but He's also there as our forerunner. You can't have a forerunner without the afterrunners. In other words, if He's there as a forerunner, He's there as the guarantee of the safe arrival of all His people. That's the anchor for the soul. Now I want you to get the picture that Paul is painting there. Even to this day, great ships will not set forth. They don't set forth without an anchor. Certainly in Paul's day, you would never take off to sea without an adequate anchor unless you wanted to commit suicide. And this is the anchor for the soul. We are in the midst of the tempest of life. Maybe I should have had to sing that hymn. I forgot that I'm always looking for an excuse for us to sing it. Master, the tempest is raging. And certainly it is. Some of you tonight know what it is to be caught in the middle of the tempest.
You're being buffeted in the one hand and buffeted in the other. You're like Paul, as he's described in Acts 27 in that great journey. You're in that place where the two seas meet, and you're being driven hither and yon. It seems that you're in such turmoil, and you wonder what the end is going to be. My friend, we know the end. We don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow, but we know the end. We have an anchor, and it's gripping the rock of ages. It's entering not into our circumstances merely, but it's entering within the veil to the very throne room of God. It's anchored in Christ. We know He's in heaven. We know what He's doing there. We know why He's there. And we know the results of His being there. And the ultimate result is we will be there as well. Doesn't matter what happens. Now, you may lose your job. I don't want you to, but you may lose your job. You may lose your health. You may succumb to dreadful diseases. You may be tried till you feel that you can take no more. And if Christ doesn't come, you'll finally die. But none of that changes the ultimate reality. Our hope rests on the foundation of Christ's saving work. That is absolute, impregnable, unchangeable truth. Where is Jesus Christ, our Savior? He's at God's right hand. What's He doing? He is interceding for us. I don't know all that God's plans are for you or for me, but I do know the end of the story. We'll be with Him, and we'll be like Him, and we'll see Him as He is. And then, of course, the word truth reminds us that our hope is established upon the promise of the God who cannot lie. It's wonderful to read in this text that we have the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. There's a thought there. I'm not sure I'll mention it. I don't think I'll develop it. I have only a little time that I want to devote to Titus. Otherwise, I'd be very tempted to come back to this truth in more detail. I've never heard a preacher preach in this. I've never heard even a preacher mention this. And I have to wonder why we're so blind. God that cannot lie promised eternal life to us before the world began. Question. To whom did He make that promise? You can't promise anything without having someone to whom to make the promise. To whom did God make that promise? Wasn't to you, for you weren't there. Wasn't to me, for I wasn't there either. Wasn't to Adam, wasn't to any mortal man. Ah, but there was one there. The Christ of God was there. The one whom God had appointed in the covenant of redemption before the world began to be the head of a redeemed people. The one to whom God promised a people and gave that people. He made a promise to Him. I want you to see this. For one believer in Jesus Christ to feel, to reach eternal glory, would not only make God a liar to that believer, but to His own Son. And it would make Him wreck and tear in shreds the covenant into which He entered with His Son before the world began. The thought is as preposterous as it's blasphemous. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. When I have His word for it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then there is nothing more certain than that. Heaven and earth may pass away, but His word will never pass away. God cannot lie. We were reading in Hebrews chapter 6 tonight, the lengths to which God went to make this point. He says, among men, when men make a promise, they seal it with an oath. They swear by something greater than themselves. But God cannot swear by any greater. So He swore by Himself. He invoked His own name. Let me remind you, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did again and again and again as He talked to man on the earth. You remember He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. The Greek text is simply, amen, amen, I say unto you. What is that amen? It is His own name. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 tells me He is the Amen. He is swearing by Himself. He is invoking all the perfect character of His own person, His might, His power, His faithfulness, His love, His greatness and His glory. He's saying, all that I am swearing by what I am, that I will do this. God could swear by none greater, so He swear by Himself. Now He's given us a promise. That would be good enough. But then He adds to that this swearing by Himself. So that now we have two immutable things. We have the promise, and it's confirmed by the oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us, the hope of eternal life. This is not wishful thinking. Paul said in Romans 5, this hope maketh not ashamed. If your hope is in the Lord, it'll never leave you disappointed. There's not a soul trusting in Jesus that can ever be disappointed in the hope of eternal life. It's well established. A word about the exercise of the believer's hope. You'll notice how closely it's linked with the faith of God's elect. Hope is an exercise of faith. And I'm saying that in the teeth of the opinion of many commentators that faith is an exercise of hope. I suppose in many ways they're so intertwined that you can see why each would say that. But as I've looked at their reasons for saying it, I'm more than ever convinced. Hope is an exercise of faith. Galatians 5 verse 5 says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now that could be taken to mean the righteousness is by faith and we're waiting for the hope of it. It can also quite simply mean that by faith we're waiting for the hope of righteousness. And I think that's what Paul's saying. This is an exercise of faith. The blessings of our hope can be enjoyed only by faith. Now, I don't want to repeat myself ad nauseam. Forgive the Latin phrase, but I remember so little Latin now, I'm glad to trot out any that I remember. Anyway, this morning I mentioned the view of a modern preacher that people are now feeling their way into thinking rather than thinking their way into feeling. That's extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. And that, sadly, is what is happening in church after church after church after church. People are being driven to achieve some emotional experience. And because of that emotional experience, they have come to think that they have a true hope. And the tragedy is that in so many cases, such a hope will prove to be vain. The biblical way of enjoying hope, the biblical way of being able to exercise the Christian hope in the face of the bleakest circumstances is by faith.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.